It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, the reigning, defending, undisputed Universal Heavyweight Champion.
Wildcat Radio 2.0. Bear down, you beautiful people.
What's up, everybody? This is Wildcat Radio 2.0. I'm Adam Green. He's Brett Berry. And that Colorado game was awful. Is that the best way to sum it up, Brett? Are we done with talking about Colorado? Does that recap everything? We good?
I mean, Arizona's offense scored more points than typical. Granted, it was for the other team, if you count the picks.
No, Arizona scored no points. But
they scored it for the other team.
They threw a pass that resulted in a touchdown.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's true. That happened.
It's the first pass one of Arizona's quarterbacks has thrown that resulted in a touchdown in multiple games.
That one of their quarterbacks, because against UCLA, it was Jamari Joyner.
Yeah.
Well, and Oregon, did McLeod throw a touchdown against Oregon, or did he run? There were running plays in that. They had run rushing touchdown. Yeah, you're right. What a horribly accurate joke to make.
Yeah, you know, the thought crossed my mind, Adam, that when we were previewing the season, that I recall explicitly saying, and it was not a hot take at any time, but I said that my top three concerns for the ceiling and floor for this team in order of severity and impact and concern was quarterback play number one, O-line play number two, and a distant third being the defense's ability to adopt the new scheme and perform. Mm-hmm. Well, those top two I certainly got right.
Well, in this game, it was final score was 34-0, and it in some ways it was closer than that, and in many ways it was probably more of a blowout than that, right? Like Arizona was down 3-0, 6-0, and even in the second quarter, like their offense couldn't move the ball. Gunnar Cruz was struggling. He only took one sack in the game, but just Arizona, they couldn't run the ball. They were trying all those jet sweeps and everything. They couldn't move the ball. The defense was fine, but also Colorado's offense was just garbage. So we knew that, right? And it was 6-0. Arizona gets the ball down to the 1 yard line, to the Colorado 1 yard line. John, great run. And Arizona can't punch it in. And it was, if I remember right, it was a quarterback sneak that didn't go anywhere. Fine. Then it was like one of those. A pitch to the outside that didn't go anywhere. Then another thing to the outside. Then they would play action, rolled out Cruz, and he threw incomplete on fourth down. And like at that point, if Arizona scores a touchdown, assuming they get the extra point, they're going in a half up 7-6 in what's been a just awful football game. But you'd actually feel okay about that because, hey, they have the lead on the road at halftime. Instead, they're down 6-0 at half with that goal line failure in their back pocket where that was the game right there pretty much. But we could talk about, I think, Jed Fish. Like, I'm not big on the getting on play calling because play calling is always bad when it doesn't work, and when it works, it was a great call. But I think he got way too cute there. You have four chances. Okay, so the QB sneak didn't work. Run it up the middle again, run it up the middle again, and run it up the middle again. Don't go sideways. And he went shotgun on second and third down for a team that doesn't rely on the shotgun. Like there, I didn't understand what was happening. That series cost him. And yeah, it was awful.
Yeah, Adam, are you in my thoughts right now? Because we watched the game together, and in that real time, I said you should line up with three tight ends and your fullback. I don't have a problem with the quarterback sneak.
Nope, but not at all.
From
first and fourth down, I think we're okay play calls. Like those are fine play calls. I can live with those.
Yeah, but realistically, first and goal from the one, they have shown the ability to get a yard
in four right? tries. They better.
And if you can't go three tight ends with your fullback that has been underutilized, though I think Clay Markoff did have a catch in this game.
He played a little bit more in this game than he had. Yeah.
You know, if you fail that on four straight plays, I it's still maybe more demoralizing, but it feels less self-inflicted by the play calling. I 100% agree with you, and I mean it's a you know, a disproven negative kind of situation of if you punch that in there and get a lead, does that change the trajectory of that game rather than a game kind of spiraling out of control? And maybe it does, maybe it doesn't, but boy, like that was a moment that could have been a turning point in a positive direction. And instead it was a big negative one. And I don't think it was even necessarily entirely on the players on the field. Like, sure, could they have executed those plays perfectly?
Oh, I'm sure there were missed blocks and a missed read on the hole and everything like that. Sure.
Well, but like to your point of being too cute with play calling and missed blocks, in that situation, you don't need to be creative to get a foot.
No, and right? Like Donovan was out. He was hurt in this game. If I remember right, was it McCauley too got dinged up or Donovan Lay got banged up in this game? So like it wasn't like they were just a pinnacle of health of the offensive line. But yeah, and like I don't like criticizing play calling because I think so rarely can you be like, yeah, that was a bad play, because usually you say that after the fact, right? But I remember watching this game going, what are you doing in the shotgun? Why are you going sideways? You need a yard. Go forward. And it just didn't seem like I was putting the players in the best position to succeed. That said, okay, they're down 6-0 at halftime. They go to and they get the ball towards midfield in the second half, still only down 6-0. It was still a one-score game. Then you get the blocked punt that gets returned for a touchdown. Then the next drive, you get the pick six, which apparently came three plays after Gunnar Cruz broke his hand or broke his thumb or whatever it is. He threw the pick six. Not saying that's the reason he threw the interception. The throw was late. It was behind him, and it just wasn't a good read. But then at that point, the game was over. Like, Arizona wasn't going to – they're going to have a hard time scoring 7 points. They certainly weren't going to score 20 or 21, not in this game. I think everyone's biggest fears going into this game were realized, was that the offense without Jordan McLeod could not move. It was worse than we've seen. And like we talked to Jack last week about Colorado, didn't all make it to the air, but he said like Colorado's defense was decent, their offense was really bad. And in this game, their defense was decent and their offense was really bad. But Arizona turned the ball. They gave them 14 points on a pick six and a block punt. Like that's, Arizona can't do that against anyone, and we've seen that. Like, they can't do that against a bad team in Colorado and have a chance. They certainly can't do that against the better teams, which is most every other team that they're going to play. So was it a close game? Yeah, for 36 minutes it was. But not that Arizona was moving the ball and keeping up. They just weren't getting blown out. They were still in the game, but they never really did anything other than that one drive that stalled at the one. They never did anything that made you think they had a chance to do really much of anything.
Yeah, and it's especially frustrating to see pick sixes now, I mean, against some good teams, but also against some teams that are just not that great. Like, there was the NAU game. Colorado is not a great team. And Arizona's margin for error, even against a bad team, but especially on the road, is just so slight. You know, I'm confident if Jordan McLeod played this game, it would make a pretty significant difference. But
sure,
that's not the world we're living in.
No, he's not walking through that door. Not until next season.
He might be rolling through that door or wobbling in on crutches, but he's not playing right. And all of the dinged up injuries the challenge for Arizona is, you know, as much as we think that in some positions they've established some depth in certain positions that are of critical importance, there's not that depth there. Those of you playing the drinking game of every time Brett says depth at home just had a really rough last 30 seconds.
We made it 7 minutes into the show. That's probably good enough for them.
Yeah. Well, they're Arizona fans if you're listening to this, so they're probably already drunk when we're talking Arizona football. But, you know, a lot of the guys being out either due to being nicked up or, you know, other off the field personal reasons, like Trayshawn Howard being out does not help Arizona. JB Brown being out does not help Arizona. Josh Donovan maybe isn't a superstar O lineman, but he's played better this year than he has last year, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a significant drop off in guys that are ready to play in on the O line. And so it creates a lot of problems, and that's not even going into the fact that we're down to one scholarship quarterback now, and that scholarship quarterback is Will Plummer, who lost us the game against NAU. But
good times.
You know, it's hard to to glean too much from it, because it's kind of a comedy of errors and bad luck, but also like there are correctable things from to a man from every player that got on the field that day up to and including, and maybe even especially Jed Fish with, you know, he's the primary play caller.
And he took responsibility. He did.
Yeah. And you know, I at some point the jet sweeps need to be the thing that are the occasional exception. They need to be the punctuation, not the sentence. If you're wanting to be effective, right. They need to be the thing that people have to be worried about and not the thing that they're gearing up on, because it, in my opinion, it loses the effectiveness there. But I don't know what you can take away from this game to either build upon or learn from, other than it basically just feels like one of those things that has to get flushed down the toilet and hope that they can kind of pull together and be ready for Washington in the rest of the season.
Well, yeah, if you want to take a positive from this game, Jalen John had 73 yards on 11 carries. That's the positive. That's it. If you want to take a positive, that's the one. Otherwise, Gunnar Cruz...
Adam, you know what you could have done with that 220-pound running back that was getting almost 7 yards a carry? Give him the ball 4 straight plays on first and goal from the
I'd
one.
Like to think maybe he was tired after the long run that got him there. Otherwise, yeah, why wasn't he in the game? I don't know.
I'd like to think he wants to get the touchdown.
But otherwise, like, the biggest fear is Gunnar Cruz was not better in this game before he got hurt, and now he's out for the rest of the season. But, like, I mean, he only took the one sack, but he was double pumping. He was taking the short throws, didn't push the ball downfield. Like, up until the interception, he hadn't cost them anything, but he wasn't doing anything close to winning them anything. And now, granted, this is a game where they probably just compete, don't lose the game. You have a chance to win, but they blew that chance when they got nothing out of being first and goal from the 1 yard line. When Will Plummer came in already, the score was, it was already back. They were down 21-0 at that point. I wasn't expecting a ton from him. He looked like Will Plummer, inaccurate through an interception. You know, otherwise, Berryhill was fine. He's had a hard time making a huge impact. He catches a lot of passes, but the offense just, it's not there to make plays down the field. Defensively, Mo Diallo was fine. Javon Mason was good. Keon Barnes was good again. But just, it's certainly not enough. And when you're Arizona, it's every fear. I keep coming back to it. Every concern, every fear after Jordan McLeod got hurt in that UCLA game was like, the reason they looked competitive was because they had Jordan McLeod. Could they do it without him? And they looked like the team that was pre-Jordan McLeod, if not even slightly worse. Now, granted, the pick six and the block punt, if you try to take those away, okay. But that's the second block punt that happened against San Diego State. You can't have that happen. You know, the pick six you mentioned that happened against NAU. Those are things that Arizona cannot afford to have happen, have a chance in a game, no matter how bad the team they're playing is. We see all that against NAU. We saw it against Colorado. It'd be, like, before this game, Brett, we've talked about it. Arizona had lost 5 games. 4 of those games, they had been within a score in the fourth quarter. And the 5th one was against San Diego State. We just got blown. They played like garbage. It happens. You could kind of say, okay, you know, not the worst thing. They've been competitive. This game, you can't say that, because they were bad on offense. They made some just devastating mistakes in special teams. And obviously the defense put up a fight, but putting up a fight against Colorado's offense isn't exactly something to hang your hat on. Like, this was a really bad game, and the question is, was this a huge step back? Or is it just a speed bump in the slow progress they may have been making before?
I don't know if we know the answer to that until we see how the rest of the season goes, to be honest. And some of that might be gut check time for a lot of guys that who really wants to be there, who's really bought in, who's not. I was pulling up the stats, Adam. Do you know what our turnovers forced to turnovers given away ratio is right now?
Haven't they forced like 4 turnovers?
They have forced 5 turnovers, not counting the safeties, which it would be 7 with those, I believe. But we have 14 giveaways in 6 games.
Minus 9.
Well, you can't, if you're Arizona, you can't average 2+ giveaways in a game. No. You know, and this Colorado game was another one with 2, right? Against a not great team. But if you do that and you force 0, it goes back to the margin for error question, and I'm curious to see you know, I was hoping to see some more disruption from the Arizona defense. Like, we got a little bit more in the UCLA game with the two forced turnovers. Maybe some of that was DTR not being at his best passing, at least. But that's a not great Colorado offense that it didn't even particularly contain. Granted, it's hard when the offense and the special teams puts you in a hole. There's a momentum in a game that it's hard to know what to make of, especially the second half of that game, mm-hmm. right? Like, is that more a product of, well, this was where this thing kind of fell apart, and then the rest of it was just running out the rest of the clock, and it was inevitable because Arizona's going to try to pass the ball 90% of the time, and they're just going to run clock and run the ball the whole time, right? And that's the difference between a three-score game and a tighter game. Compared to the other games where Arizona was keeping it close, controlling the clock, moving the ball, you know, it's hard to say coming out of that game. I think we'll have an answer in the first quarter or two this coming Friday against Washington, because you're going to see how they react and see where, the score starts over at 0-0 against another team that's they probably have a talent gap and significant one, but that also Washington is not as good as the sum of their parts as a team so far this year. So I don't know if there's an answer until we see it on the field.
Yeah, and that Washington game is Arizona's next one. It's Friday at Arizona Stadium. But let's take a break, and we come back. We'll have a chat with Max Vrooman of UWDogPound.com. It's the SB Nation site that covers the Washington Huskies because, I mean, the game's going to be played, so we might as well get an idea of how it might go.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Welcome back. It's Wildcat Radio 2.0, and we are glad to be joined by Max Vrooman of UWDogPound.com. It's the SB Nation site for the Washington Huskies, who are Arizona's opponent this Friday evening at Arizona Stadium. Max, welcome to Wildcat Radio.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, so the game that started the losing streak was against Washington at Arizona Stadium, so it would be kind of symmetry if Arizona ended the losing streak at Arizona Stadium against Washington, but of course, Arizona's one of the two touchdown underdogs in this game. Is that reasonable from what – because Washington hasn't had a great season either, but do they seem like they're that much better than the Arizona Wildcats?
At this point, it's kind of hard to say they should be a 17-point favorite over just about anybody, but then again, they did one of their biggest wins of the season against Arkansas State, who, looking at the advanced metrics, unfortunately, are in reasonably similar territory to Arizona. They won, I think it was a 52-3. So it's in there in Washington that it's capable, but traditionally we have not fared very well in the desert. So I know there are a lot of Washington fans who are a little bit concerned about that aspect. But this is not the Washington team we all thought we were getting. We thought we were getting a team that seemed very capable of competing for a Pac-12 title, and instead we are getting a team that seems to be exceedingly mediocre. They've played a close game pretty much every Pac-12 contest and got steamrolled by Michigan, and they beat Arkansas State by a lot. So sure, this team is definitely capable of covering that spread against Arizona, but I also wouldn't surprise anyone if they fall a little bit flat and let Arizona hang around, and this ends up being a battle where it comes down to who can make the play at the end of the game, and that's not something that UW's done very well this season.
Yeah, based on performance to date, you know, another misery loves company thing. I actually happened to be at the Washington game in Seattle when they played Montana, and I got to see firsthand the struggles, especially offensively for Washington, which is something Arizona fans are all too familiar with our struggles on offense. I guess from your perspective, Max, have you seen any improvements or progressions on Washington offensively to be able to even, you know, to the point of scoring enough points to even cover that spread, assuming Arizona is able to put points on the board?
Well, so there have been some personnel changes since that Montana game, which I was fortunate enough to be out of town, so I did not have to be there in person to experience that, so lucky you. That first game of the year, there were the top four receivers for Washington were all out of that game, three of which happened before the game in the week coming into that practice, and then the fourth happened on the first drive of the game. So that was a big deterrent. Three of those three are healthy who were out there. The one who got hurt in that game is out for the year, with Rome Odunze, Jalen McMillan, and Terrell Bynum all available. That definitely has helped add some explosiveness on the outside. And those three all should be at least average wide receivers, even though two of them are quite young within the Pac-12. At the running back spot, they started out the year kind of going with a youth movement and turned things over to Richard Newton and Cameron Davis as the starters. And so far this year, Newton's averaging 3.5 yards per carry and Davis is averaging 2.6. And after a couple of games, they basically scrapped that idea and have now gone back to the seniors in Kamari Pleasant and Sean McGrew. And that's worked better in the running game. Each of them are averaging better than 4 yards a carry, which is definitely improvement. But this is still an offense that from a lot of elements just doesn't seem to be making improvements. Dylan Morris is still throwing a plenty of interceptions. He's thrown 8 so far this year. The offensive line still has trouble blocking. That's gotten a little bit better, but the play calling has been a huge area of concern for Husky fans. And it really has shown brief moments where you can tell at the beginning of a game, they've scripted the first couple of drives and that has allowed them to see some success. And then as soon as they kind of get into the middle of it, offensive coordinator John Donovan just likes to go run and doesn't like to put in motion. And doesn't like to put in play action, which is generally not how you run a modern offense in college football, but we've seen a lot of it so far this year.
Well, and Arizona fans could tell you there's no way to get better or a better way to improve on offense than to play the Wildcats. It seems like obviously last week Colorado came in with one of the worst offenses in the country and they did okay against the Wildcats, who admittedly their defense has been solid, but Arizona's offense has been so miserable putting the defense in bad positions. Arizona fans remember Dylan Morris from last season, though. He didn't have great numbers until he played Arizona. Remember Sean McGrew had great numbers against Arizona. And so these are veteran, I guess Morris is a freshman technically still, but these are guys that Arizona is familiar with, and yet they have been overall as an offense struggling. Is it as simple as the play calling? Is it as simple as they had the wrong guys in the wrong spots early on? Like, why has this offense, which historically has never been great but is usually solid, why has it struggled so much in your opinion?
I think the play calling is a big part of it. The regression on the offensive line, though, I think is really the biggest thing. This is a team that expected to be able to run the ball well, and they've got 5 returning starters along the offensive line, which was, there were reasonable expectations that this was going to be the best offensive line in the Pac-12. And I don't think that was a stretch. And that's certainly what Jimmy Lake communicated before the season. And instead, they just have not opened up holes in pass protection. They have been pretty leaky at times. There have been free rushers coming through. A lot of that has messed with Dylan Morris's mind, I think, and he's a little bit more skittish. He's not willing to wait for his progressions. He'll throw up a jump ball rather than settle and try to find a second read. And I think that's really kind of trickled down. And it's hard to say whether the play calling has really been what's deteriorated the offensive line and that's led to everything else, or whether the line just hasn't lived up to performance and that's led the coaching staff to not be able to trust it. And that's led Morris to not trust it. But really, those two kind of key elements of the line and the play calling seem like the biggest thing, although there are plenty of times where there are just little mistakes made. The receivers don't run the right route, or their spacing's not quite right. There's just a lot of little things that have also contributed to, even when things have gone well, to just be close misses for the offense.
I feel like if someone was talking to us about Arizona, we'd say a lot of the same things, right? Like, is it play calling? Is it the line? Is it the little things? And I guess for Washington, yeah, they've been underwhelming this season, but usually the defense is there too. You know, that's kind of been the calling card, especially with Jimmy Lake as the coach. You think the defense will be fine, and yet obviously Washington's defense is not what we're used to. Is that is that just attrition? They've lost so many guys to the NFL where they just couldn't keep that level of play?
Definitely a big part of it. This has been a defense that traditionally the way they functioned is they've had kind of a big space-eating defensive tackle who's held down the line. They've played a nickel defense in base. When teams try to go short passing routes, they tackle extremely well. They don't let you break tackles. That's not the defense we've seen so far. It's been a defense that's been vulnerable to the run in the past, but this year especially, they have possibly the best two corners in the conference in Kyler Gordon and Trent McDuffie on the outside. But instead of just kind of letting those two function on islands and playing everybody in the box, they continue to play their safeties 15 to 20 yards deep to avoid the big play. And teams have just been able to come in and run for 6 to 7 yards a carry, and the defense can't get off the field. It should help this week that Zion Tupuola-Fatui, who was phenomenal last season with 7 sacks in 4 games, kind of came out of nowhere, was a borderline All-American. He came back from an Achilles tear in 6 months, which is just absurd, and played 10 snaps, had 4 hurries in those 10 snaps last week. Seems like whether or not he's going to start, he may probably play more than that, maybe at least double it, which is a good sign for the defense, because one of those big issues has been they haven't had a pass rush even when they have gone in those passing downs. And if you give quarterbacks forever, even if you have good corners, eventually they're going to find somebody. So it's really been those problems of pass rush hasn't been there, and the defense just hasn't been able to stop the run.
Well, and Max, before I kind of ask a question about how you anticipate them taking the approach on defense, I was curious what you mentioned. I pulled up the stats for you guys. In 6 games, Washington's only gone over 100 net yards twice rushing. By contrast, Arizona has done that 4 times, which I would have never suspected. I would have thought those been the other way around, right? But I guess with Arizona having Will Plummer coming in, do you expect Washington's defense will take a different kind of approach? You know, you talked about them being worried about the deep pass. Arizona's passing game hasn't had that much of a threat all season. Granted, Will Plummer's more willing to make those kind of throws than other people. Or do you think they're going to try to load the box against Arizona to try to just isolate their and eliminate their running backs and the running game?
Well, every fan would say, please God, load up the box and dare them to throw it. But they've shown no willingness to do that this year, even when it's been obvious that they should. They played UCLA last week, and UCLA had between their quarterback and their 2 running backs were all averaging better than 6 yards a carry. And Dorian Thompson-Robinson is not the most accurate quarterback in the world. UCLA was missing its top receiver. It seemed like a perfect time to just consistently play a 7 and an 8 in the box and play the run and force them to beat you through the air. And instead, on the final drive, when UCLA was trying to ice the clock, their safeties were still playing 15 yards back. So it has just been, whether incredible stubbornness or stupidity, just they've shown no indication of switching things up and going away from kind of their base defensive plan. And it would not shock me if they allow Arizona to try to run the ball up the middle and get 4 to 5 yards per carry, even if that's not the experience they've had so far this year. Everybody who's run against UW this year has been able to do it. So it's really a supreme weakness on weakness matchup. And it's weakness on strength if Arizona decides to try to force the ball deep. So hopefully you guys do that.
It seems like a matchup of a stoppable force and a movable object.
Absolutely. Yes.
The classic dogs versus cats matchup right here. No one wants to see this. Washington, obviously, they've been good. Historically, a pretty good program. Arizona, 18 straight losses there. I'm not even close to being good right now. But what's the vibe like with the Washington Huskies? I know ever since Peterson left, it was like, okay, he had things going. Could Jimmy Lake keep things rolling? And they've been decent even without Chris Peterson, but this year seems like that big step back. Like, what's the vibe like with this program or around Washington? Because I think from the Tucson perspective, from the Arizona perspective, it's like Washington is a solid program normally.
Yeah, it's pretty catastrophic, I would say, is the fan mindset. Everything is burning. I think there are a lot of fans who are calling for everyone to get fired, given where the expectations were on this. I don't think Jimmy Lake is getting fired after this season, but there's certainly an expectation that offensive coordinator John Donovan is on the chopping block. Jimmy Lake came in his first season, obviously had the COVID deal, which led to them playing four games. They went 3-1. Two of those wins were by less than a touchdown. So it was kind of
and one was Arizona
season and one was Arizona. So, which was not by, I believe I, you can double check the math. I think that was by more than seven. but yes, the, yeah. So it was a kind of okay year, but not great. They technically won the division, but COVID kept them from being able to play Oregon. Which meant that Oregon got to go to the Pac-12 title game and then won it, which considering how UW fans feel about Oregon, didn't feel great. There were two top 10 prospects in the Seattle area, five stars, who both chose to go to Ohio State, which was one of the things fans were hoping from Jimmy Lake, was that he was going to take recruiting up another level as somebody who was known as a recruiting expert as a coordinator. And that hasn't happened, and the recruiting has been pretty dead in addition to the on-field struggles that have now materialized. So I think there are a lot of fans who are extremely frustrated that this was a program that was accustomed to being in the top 25, if not the top 15, for a 3 to 4 year stretch there. And now this is a middle of the Pac-12 outfit at best this season, it looks like. And there are a lot of fans who aren't willing to give him the benefit of the doubt right now.
That is, yeah. Talking to Arizona fans, that's like, wow, they were okay last year. They're 2-4 this year. And it's like, ooh, it's the end of the world. That, what a difference programs. Like
expectations. Bill Connolly put out today his SP Plus showing win projections from the preseason to what they are now. I think he had Washington at like 9.3 wins and are now down to 5.5. Oof. So underperforming by 4 wins, even though Arizona was something like from 3-1. So that's a, you know,
hold on.
An absolute,
is that math says we're overperforming compared to Washington.
No, that so says far. That though, yeah. Arizona's expected to win a game though. That's what I took from
that. I think
that.
It's 0.9 is what I think I saw.
So almost win a game. Yeah.
So almost win a game if you add up the percentages. But yeah, so from a absolute perspective of net wins that they have underachieved by, this is a team that definitely thought they were going to be 4-2 right now instead of 2-4 at the very worst.
So this is going to be a great matchup, obviously, of two Titans, Max.
Just like last week for you guys.
I mean, I pray to God it's not just like last week for us personally.
Fair.
But with that in mind, when you look at this matchup, knowing where Washington has strengths and weaknesses and Arizona has whatever they have, you know, if Arizona is to be competitive and challenged to win this game, you know, what is the scenario where you see that playing out? What's the approach from Arizona? What's the approach from Washington that leads to that likelihood?
Yeah, so I think the first thing is, as I said, they should not put the ball in Will Plummer's hands. They should run the ball as much as possible, run it early. I think they have a chance at success if they do that. If they end up in third and longs and he's forced to throw the ball against the nickel defense of UW, I think it's going to result in several turnovers. It's probably not going to go well. This is a Washington team that has really struggled in the field position battle. So I think if they're able to challenge Dylan Morris, I think he's got a chance to throw another pick or two, as he has done at times. If Arizona is able to force a couple interceptions, maybe force a fumble, and then on the other end, run the ball, keep this in, you know, the teens or the 20s, which is where Washington's offense has been this year, then they've got a shot. But it's definitely not going to be easy, given what we've seen from Arizona this year, but this is definitely a Washington team that is not coming in with a lot of confidence, and playing on the road is not something they've really shown they can do.
Ooh, so like that's how it happens. Obviously, Arizona fans will hear that and be like, well, let's see, keeping the teams Arizona has in top 19 points in a game this season. You know, if Arizona can run the ball and not get third and long, well, that hasn't been the case most of this season. So it seems like it's one of those situations where if Arizona does do all those things, it's going to be out of character for them. And yeah, it can happen, I guess. Why not? But for Washington, is there even any kind of sense that the talent is that just haven't put together this year? Because obviously, like, they may come out, we may be talking about this Friday night, and be like, yeah, Washington looked great. And how much of that was Arizona, how much of that was Washington? But is Washington, do they have another level of play that they could get to conceivably? Because Arizona fans probably think, yeah, that's they're not that good anyway. Does Washington have talent, just has been unrealized talent up to this point?
I think they do. This is a team that had 9 and a lot of fans who thought 10 win expectations coming into this season. So clearly, if you'd asked this question 6 weeks ago, or 7 weeks ago, the answer would have been, yeah, this team's got a ton of talent. We haven't been able to see all of that talent on the field at the same time. And when it has been out there, things have still looked a little disjointed, but there's definitely a possibility that suddenly things click, especially if they were to click on the offensive line, or if Jimmy Lake was able to get play calling duties away from offensive coordinator John Donovan, that suddenly this team looks much better. And if ZTF comes back, is fully healthy, and gets 3 sacks with 2 forced fumbles like he's done to teams last year, then yeah, all of a sudden this team looks completely different. But given what we've seen so far, it's kind of difficult to say after 6 games of not really having seen it that the light's going to suddenly turn on.
Well, Arizona has a good way of flipping the switch for opponents, at least the last couple of seasons and a half. Before we let you go, Max, we talked about, okay, how does Arizona win this game? It seems unlikely from the Arizona perspective, but I'm not going to ask for a score prediction because those are hard. But how do you see this game playing out from your vantage point?
I think we're going to see it being, and I think similar to some of the Arizona games in the recent past, where this is reasonably close at halftime. That the Husky offense maybe scores on the first possession and then bogs down a couple times while Arizona isn't able to get too much done. Maybe there's a special teams play that comes into Arizona might be able to cover, but it would be a monumental collapse. And I know there are a lot of UW fans who are almost hoping for the collapse just so we can say burn it all down. But I just don't think it's going to happen. Although 2016... the second hardest game we played all season that year on the route to the playoff was potentially that overtime game in the desert. And I know that's a lot of fans are worried about, that there's just something about UW teams going down to Arizona that's gonna magically wreak havoc.
Well, and you know who the honorary captain is going to be down there Friday night for Arizona is. A legend, not of the Washington games in Arizona, but one in Seattle, Ortiz Jenkins, the Leap by the Lake, is the honorary captain. So I'm sure Washington fans will appreciate seeing Ortiz Jenkins out there Friday.
Oh, I'm sure.
Well, Max Ruman from UWDogPound.com, we appreciate the time. I know people can follow you on Twitter. Just give your handle, anything you want to plug for you guys that Arizona fans might want to catch up on for you.
UWDP_MaxBroom on Twitter. Check out the site. We've got our Arizona preview coverage coming out starting today. So today and tomorrow, there'll be plenty of that. All we hear is Purple Podcasts. Will mostly be some UCLA recap. There's a little bit of Arizona preview in there. And otherwise, that's what I got to plug.
All right. Well, we appreciate that. Everyone check out Max's stuff. Max Ruman, UWDogPound.com. And when we come back, we'll give our final thoughts on Arizona and Washington.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
5-1-0, declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
We're back, and thanks again to Max Ruman for that insight into the Washington Huskies. And, you know, Brett, we're making this habit of we talk to people who are incredibly down on the teams they cover and follow. And it's almost like it's hard to be like, really? Are things that bad? Because Washington's, what, 2-4? And what Arizona fans would give for 2-4 right now. And yet, for Washington, contextually, they're having a bad season.
Yeah, I come out of that conversation with Max like I have for a couple times and said, you know, maybe there is a chance.
Right, and that's what happens, right? Everyone is, there's, like, we know there's only like two good teams in all of college football this season. In the Pac-12, like neither one of them are in the Pac-12. So it's kind of, who feels good about their teams? And yet, like, we know Washington, this is a team that, one of the teams that Arizona lost to last season, and it was not a close game. Now, is this Arizona team better than the one that played at Washington last season? I'd like to think so, but is this Washington team worse than the one that beat Arizona last year? Maybe, but I don't know if the gap has gotten that much smaller. And after the game Arizona just had, and maybe this is what Arizona's done, right? Just when you feel like there's no chance, like they lose to NAU, then they go compete against Oregon. Like, maybe that's what happens. It's like they're not as bad as their most recent blowout, but they're not as good as the competitive. Like, I don't know where Arizona fits in, especially with Will Plummer as their quarterback. And that's the tough thing, because if it was Jordan McLeod, who knows if they beat UCLA. There's a decent chance they have a close game against Colorado, and you feel like they have a chance against whoever they play because he was at least moving the ball. Now, maybe teams would have figured him out. It's possible. He was a limited quarterback in his skill set. They don't have Jordan McLeod. They have Will Plummer, who, as you mentioned earlier, was the guy who started the loss to NAU. A guy who's proven to be inaccurate, and he's a redshirt freshman. Maybe he, you know, he has a chance to develop into a better passer, of course. But how much better can he be now from when we saw him a few weeks ago against NAU? Like, I don't imagine there's been that much growth to make you feel like they could beat even a down Washington team.
Well, I listened to Michael Lev on the, you know, friend of the pod on the Wildcast podcast, and he had an interesting stat, even in like the Colorado game, of Will Plummer's willingness to throw the ball deep versus Gunnar Cruz, even in Colorado, where it was like average depth of target was like 6 yards for Gunnar Cruz and for Will Plummer it was 14, which is like, oh, that should be a good thing. Until I hear Max say, oh, they're going to keep two deep safeties, because then I just hear that's two interceptions.
Yeah, well, there's a balance between testing the defense down the field when it's there and taking what they're giving you underneath. Like on 3rd and 15, or when you're down 21-0, throw it downfield where you got to lose. But yeah, like when you're playing NAU and you're up, or when you're in a close game, you can't force it like that. So it's like, it's people watch Gunnar say, oh, he doesn't throw the ball downfield, and that's true. He didn't. But sometimes, like, you just need to take, you know, 5, 6, 7 yards at a time and move the ball a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, listening to Max, it seems like what the obvious game plan should be if I was game planning for Arizona would be simple power run the ball 50 to 60% of the time, cut back, you know, make cute plays like jet sweeps and things on the outside, a lower percentage. And then if you're going to have Will Plummer throw the ball outside of a, you know, a little bubble screen, once you get them to draw up after you've ran the ball 4 yards a carry a bunch of times, that's the time you throw deep if their safeties come up. But if they're stubborn about it, I'm fine with 80% running the ball.
Has Arizona has not proven they can be a team that can run the ball that much. Right? It's easy to say, don't put the ball in the air, hand the ball off. And this is a team, again, first and goal from the one, couldn't punch it in. And with a banged up offensive line, and just like, Arizona's had some really good running teams in the past. This isn't one of them.
Well, but how much, I feel like that first and goal from the one we talked about in the first segment is a perfect example of, is the inability to run the ball ability or play calling and scheme? Or both.
Overall, was it Drake Anderson, who had been the best running back? He's averaging less than 4 yards a carry. Michael Wiley's averaging 3.2 yards a carry. Jalen John has a very small sample size, including the last game. He's at 6.2. But this is not a team that's proven it can run the ball consistently. Like when they had Jordan McLeod at quarterback, he was adding to that. That's what we saw against Oregon, then through three quarters of the UCLA game. I'm not confident that without, because they didn't really have a running game until they played Oregon. That was the first time they showed an ability to run the football this season. And then, of course, like, so yes, I would like to see them run the ball. I think I would imagine they would like to run the ball too. If you can pick up 4 or 5 yards of carry, you're going to do that. I just don't think Arizona can do it consistently, especially when teams know they can't throw the ball.
Well, hopefully Max is right and Washington is stubborn and won't adjust and will leave two safeties deep, and that 4 yard per carry average goes up to 5 yards per carry, because that's how you control the clock. That's how you, you know, get first downs. That's how you avoid turnovers for the most part. And I think Arizona's path to success revolves around that very thing. If they can average 4.5 yards a carry as a team, running the ball and consistently and being stubbornly running the ball. And then you got to, you know, I've said it for 3 or 4 games and haven't really seen it, maybe a little bit in the UCLA game. I think this defense needs to get a little bit more willing to try to be disruptive and to try to make some plays happen in terms of forcing turnovers. You know, Dylan Morris is not a world beater, despite what maybe he did again. Maybe Arizona is the cure for what ails him. But, you know, their offense is another one that is not, it's far from dominant, I guess is maybe the way of putting it. And if you can put him in some positions where he makes a few mistakes, you know, it's curious to me. Max mentioned that that Washington went away from like McGrew and Pleasant, who are like established running back seniors.
Yeah,
which is. It's nice to know that sometimes questionable approaches to things is not unique to Arizona, because Sean McGrew was like a fairly highly regarded guy. He was recruited by Arizona, and they're both. If Arizona can control them in the on the ground game, and you make Dylan Morris try to beat you, and then if you, you know, God willing, you do it with a lead and have some points and make them have to throw the ball a little bit, you know, that's the only path to success that I see here. I'm not convinced it's going to happen, but I'm also not convinced Washington is good enough to not play down to Arizona's level, especially on the road.
That was a similar game plan, you think, to what it was against Colorado, right? If you could limit Broussard and make them throw,
they did limit Broussard.
But they also had zero offense. It's mostly Arizona's offense. Like if they had put up some points in the first 3 quarters of that game or 2.5 quarters of that game, the final score obviously isn't 34-0. It's a competitive game. Arizona probably wins. But they couldn't move the ball. And I'm not convinced Arizona with Will Plummer will be able to move the ball or won't have the turnovers happen sooner. and that's what worries me. And like I hope I'm wrong about Will Plummer. I do. I know there's a lot of people who like him. A lot of people who think that after Jordan McLeod, Will Plummer is the best choice to be quarterback. And I will say one of the things that he can add is he's more mobile. But at this point, you don't want him getting touched. Right, like he's a last scholarship quarterback on this roster, for better or worse. And I would say, yeah, you could have him be part of the running game because he has been. You know, he's not Jordan McLeod, but he can be effective in that situation. But you can't have him doing that. And when he does run, he has to slide. He has to get out of bounds. That's just not Will Plummer. That's not his style. It never has been. And if you take that away from him, I don't know what he hasn't proven to be a good enough passer to move the ball down the field. And like Max is saying, UW has some good cornerbacks, and that's fine, because I don't see the path for Arizona. Like, yes, it's obvious that they can run the ball, get an early lead. I don't see how Arizona does any of that when I look at this. And I don't. It's not the negative from just the Colorado game, because I know they've looked bad against NAU and came back the next week and had a chance to beat Oregon. Arizona is capable of being a better football team than they were against Colorado. We've seen it this season. I'm just not convinced that they can do it with Will Plummer at quarterback. And, man, I hope I'm wrong, man, because he's a hardworking kid. You know, he goes and he obviously plays his ass off. And what all the quarterbacks have gone through this season, I guess the only one who didn't really get on a yo-yo was McLeod. He just had to learn the offense, and they put him in, like, you're the guy. But, you know, just like I felt bad for Gunnar Cruz getting hurt last week. I don't think they were going to pull him until he got hurt. Everybody thought he was on the sideline crying because he was pulled. He was crying because he knew his season was over. like that's a guy who came in there, and these are young quarterbacks. You know, Will Gunnar Cruz is basically a freshman. Will Plummer's a freshman. Like, they're going to go through growing pains. Neither one of them are five-star guys who can just walk in and play day one. And now Gunnar Cruz doesn't get the opportunity to learn this season, and now Will Plummer's up. And, like, they need him. They need him really, really bad to be better than he has been, to stay healthy. And I'm not sure either of those things can happen. Like, Will Plummer got hurt in the NAU game. Like, he missed some time. Like, that's just not his style. And, of course, Arizona's luck lately would be quarterback Luke Ashworth finishing the game against Washington. That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, I mean, the optimistic take is Will Plummer saw what Jordan McLeod could do with a little more dual threat approach, a little more game manager approach, a little more thoughtfulness with sliding to on some of those gains, and you can leverage that. I mean, honestly, if Arizona's not willing to use Will Plummer's legs, I don't know. I don't know if there's any chance of them having a chance to win any game.
Well, can you use his legs? Like, I mean, you have to be so judicious about it because I think
that's where you got to hope that you see some growth from Will Plummer. In, you know, like freshman Khalil Tate would try to, you know, truck stick on in Madden over like UCLA linebackers as a true freshman, but he eventually kind of learned to not try to do that. Will Plummer has a little bit of that bulldog mentality. You know, if he can see that, like, hey, take the 6 yard gain and slide and not try to get 7 and get hurt, you know, maybe. But that's reps, that's experience, that's trusting your quarterback. I don't know if Jed Fish and crew can do that. Another possibility we haven't really discussed, we kind of, you know, talked about it as something that's happened, and I think you'll see, is maybe more snaps with Jamari Joyner back there running
like
a Wildcat.
It. I don't like it.
You don't like it?
Well, if he, one, it comes down to what he wants to do. Yeah. And yeah, out of the Wildcat is fine, I guess, but there's this talk. I've seen people surmise that he'll be their starting quarterback at some point, and unless Jamari Joyner went into Jed Fish's office and says, I want to play quarterback, it wouldn't be fair to do that to him. He hasn't played quarterback in 2.5 years, 3 years, and just, no, there's no way he could learn this offense. Like, the playbook would be 4 plays out of the Wildcat, and that's it. That's no way to run an offense. Like, it's just not.
Well, so here's where I would say. I am with you on the people that if he is the quarterback full-time at any point this season, more things have gone terribly wrong.
Like, you have
wrong
to go through every
injuries.
Single, like, you have to go through Will Plummer and every single walk-on quarterback that's behind him before I'd go to Jamari Joyner at quarterback.
Certainly I would give Luke Ashworth, a guy who's a walk-on, but, you know, might not be as bad as people think. I think he's probably more rep rod than anything else. But I think you can put it, to your point, you said, like, maybe there's, like, 4 plays out of the Wildcat. I think you can have a planned set of plays for him where it's largely, you know, just giving a different look, you know, maybe some designed runs for him, things that also, you know, don't put him in too much of harm's way, because I think he's a valuable player as a receiver still coming back from injury. But, you know, maybe there's a handful of plays that you kind of game plan around, and maybe one of those is, hey, look for this one read and see where their safety is, and if he's not there, take one step forward to get them to bite and then just throw it to Tavion Cunningham and see if you can get something out of
some
it,
of
right?
The early Khalil Tate offense, right? How we saw when his basically, in 2017, yeah.
You know, I think there's an opportunity there where you can get 5 to 10 snaps a game with Joyner back there as just a different look, especially if you're in a position where you're not down 30 points early in the third quarter. You know, maybe it's a way to try to keep some momentum going. But you got to be judicious with that, and it you have to simplify that, and again, not be too cute with it.
Right,
I mean, the Wildcat has inherently cuteness in play calling, but you can do it in an intelligent way, in my opinion.
Maybe, and like, we're going to see, coming off arguably his worst game as a play caller and as a coach for Jed Fish, we're going to really get to see what he's made out of now. And it's not fair to him that he's down to basically his third string quarterback. You know, that he took over a team that was not good at quarterback, was not strong at quarterback. He recruited the best he could. You know, Fifita looks like he's going to be a solid get as a true freshman. Will he be ready to play? We don't know. McLeod looked solid in his brief time out there, and Gunnar Cruz has a good build. He looks like the quarterback, just hasn't played like that guy. And Will Plummer, of course, is a holdover. So it wasn't a great situation, and that's where, you know, you look at what happens the rest of the season. Arizona, 6 games left, and they may win one, they may not. And the question will then become, how much do you put on the coaching staff? Because obviously, I don't think anyone was expecting them to be good this season, but there was a slight hope and maybe even a moderate expectation that they'd be improved. And I think it was Michael Lev had a piece from Arizona Daily Star about how they go, one of the stats, like, in some ways Arizona is better. They have gotten better, especially on defense. But the offense has been so bad. And you could maybe point to just the fact that they don't have a good quarterback, or at least a good healthy quarterback anymore. Like, is it that simple? Maybe. But we'll find out a lot over the next, however, you know, next 6 games, because there should be ways. The best coaches can manufacture a little bit of offense. The best coaches can. Rich Rodriguez got 8 wins out of BJ Danker, right? So, like, it's There's a way to do it. Seven. I think he got 8 wins. Yeah, like, that's not a BJ Digger. Now, granted, that team had Kadeem Carey, but there's a way to do it without great quarterback play. There is. And what Arizona's done offensively, and it is a pro-style offense that is meant to have a pro-style quarterback, at least a quarterback who could play at that level, they don't have that. So what are the ways to manufacture yards? What are the ways to manufacture points with less than ideal talent? It can happen. We'll see if Jed Fish can make it happen.
Yeah, you had me thinking of the hypothetical situation that I'm curious to pose this question to you, Adam. Assuming Grant Gunnell stayed and didn't get hurt like he did at Memphis, would Arizona have won a game or games at this point?
Yeah. I don't know how good he is. As a freshman, he looked really good. As a sophomore last season, that brief amount of time, he looked okay on a really bad team. But he certainly looked more capable than anyone we've seen for Arizona this season, save the brief moments of Jordan McLeod. Right? Grant Gunnell, and you'd think with... you'll never know. But he had experience. He had starting experience, more so than Gunnar Cruz and more than Will Plummer. And he did have the pedigree. And he had some success at this level. So, yeah, I can't see that. I think we both agree they would have won the NAU game with any quarterback other than the one they started, which is unfortunate because that's now the new starter the rest of the season. But even Jordan McLeod, just that experience, and maybe that's what it comes down to, is experience. That Jordan McLeod isn't the most skilled guy, but he's played, whereas Arizona's other quarterbacks, they haven't. And there's certain things that they just haven't been through yet, certain things they haven't seen on the field, and you can't get to that level until you do. That might be the case, but that's the hand they were dealt. There weren't guys who had multiple years of starting experience on the transfer market looking at Arizona. They weren't able to pull. I think there were some that they were after. They couldn't get them. So whether it was Grant Gunnell or Jordan McLeod, if we got here in January, if there was some quarterback with experience, I think they would have won at least one game, probably a couple, assuming they stayed healthy. And, of course, this is Arizona. Assuming a quarterback's going to stay healthy is just probably not the wisest thing to do. But, yeah, I think they would have won a game or two.
Also, just for funsies, somewhere Kevin Doyle is saying, damn it, I could have been starting this game.
I will say, though, like anything, I am excited. He's not excited because I'm never excited to see a team that doesn't look like they're going to be good. But I'm interested to see how they play every game for it, because every game seems like it's going to be tougher than the game that happened before just because of the injuries and the attrition. Drake Anderson's not going to play in this game. There's a handful of other guys who are game time decisions, starters, people they rely on. And we know this isn't a deep team. We know it's not particularly, it's not a talented team, per se, to survive this. So will they play hard? Will they continue to play hard? I don't think they've given up. I don't even think they gave up in Colorado, to their credit. But will that continue? I've already mentioned Trayshawn Hayward has personal things. We don't know what's up with that. J.B. Brown is not going to play again this season with personal issues. Hopefully they get taken care of. But it just seems like it'd be a lot easier for certain players to check out of this season, which probably will happen for some of them, because for whatever reason, it's hard. They're human beings, and a lot of them have been through this. Like, what's the point? But if they get enough of them to keep playing hard and show some improvement individually, then, yeah, the results should come. Defense has been fine. Defense has been fine, although they're losing some guys to injury there. Offense, which is Jed Fish's calling card, he's an offensive coach, needs to be a lot better. I don't have Arizona winning this game. I'm going to have to make a prediction. You'll see it on AZ Desert Swarm for the final score. I don't have Arizona winning. It's hard to see them losing by 17 points. Washington isn't that good, but also Arizona lost by 34 to Colorado. So at this point, nothing bad would surprise me from the Arizona Wildcats. But I think you were saying, Brett, earlier, there is a world where Arizona plays competitive. There is.
The thing that's such a challenge to me as just a fan and a guy that wants to see these kids do well is just like, I feel like if they can get the damn monkey off their back and get a win by hook or by crook or just some, blind luck, I think it'll help answer the question of guys that want to stay bought in and let them know that, once they get that taste of victory, I think it's actually going to, that positivity can build on itself. But, the football gods are testing Arizona and their roster and their coaching staff right now with, there's not much more that could have gone wrong. If I had told you that by week 6 you'd be two quarterbacks out for the season down to one scholarship quarterback, you'd expect us to be 0-6.
Yeah, no, right? Because I would have expected them to beat NAU regardless.
Well, that's fair.
I guess I'm gonna, you know, people can call me out for that one with the freezing cold takes, or whatever. There was no world where I thought Arizona was ever going to lose that game. Everything else you could make sense of, yeah. Everything else.
Well, I mean, that game, as we talked about, we should have been able to run the ball 100% of the plays, the same play every time, lined up, and outscored NAU running one play the entire game.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, it's always partially on the players because they're the ones make the decisions, but to some extent, and maybe that with those guys out this weekend, it's going to be a true test of Jed Fish. He's generally agreed as an offensive mastermind, but you know, there's a difference between being an offensive mastermind when you're working with, the roster that enables you to do those cute things. Rich Rod was the master of getting the most out of the least, right? Like that was his biggest calling card all the way back to West Virginia. I don't know if Jed Fish is a guy that's better at getting the most out of the best, but that's not where he's at right now. That's not where Arizona's roster is at right now. And I think the impetus is on him and the rest of the coaching staff to figure out what they can do to put the Arizona players in the best chance to be successful. And if they do so, I think they'll be competitive. If they don't, I think you get the Colorado game.
Like, can we not?
I would prefer not.
Well, that is the next game. It is Friday night at Arizona Stadium. I believe it's a 7:30 kickoff for the Wildcats. Ortiz Jenkins, as you mentioned, will be the honorary captain. So it's one of the better flexes Arizona football can do in recent memory against their opponent. Of course, Washington is the team that Arizona's losing streak started against. So, that would be nice if Arizona can end the losing streak against them. But any time they could win a game this season would be nice. I'm not going to be picky for it to happen. Like, I don't care when it does, as long as it eventually does.
Beggars can't be choosers, Adam.
No, certainly not. And that's going to be about it for the show. I know we could talk about Arizona has a day game, late afternoon kickoff set for the USC game on the road. That's cool, I guess. Men's basketball is unranked. Women's basketball is ranked, not surprisingly. They are number 22 in the preseason AP top 25. Warranted. They should be ranked, but it's fair to question that they should be like top 10, top 12. Like, that makes sense. So we'll start talking more basketball, of course, as that season gets going. As always, we ask for you guys to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Spotify. Leave reviews on iTunes. If you do leave the review, we will read it on the air. I don't think we have any new reviews this week, so leave reviews, people. We want to make you famous on Wildcat Radio 2.0. Let us do that for you.
Yeah, me and Adam love feedback, positive or negative. You know, I enjoy the positive feedback. Adam's a glutton for punishment.
We're Arizona fans. Of course I am. Come on. But make sure you follow us on Twitter at Wildcat Radio AZ and stay tuned to the channel. We always got stuff going on. But yeah, Arizona, Washington, 7:30, Arizona Stadium. Brett, I know you'll be at the game, so sorry.
I will have a beer in hand.
A beer, singular. That's believable.
It will be a 24-ounce IPA.
So hopefully that helps. And of course, even more helpful would be Arizona playing well and winning the game. But whatever happens in that game, we'll talk about it next week. And until then, remember to bear down.
Bear down.